Hi there, and welcome back to the Energy Sector Heroes podcast. My name is Michelle Fraser, and every week I will speak with incredible people who share their lessons, experiences, and stories from their time spent in the energy sector. Hi there, and welcome back to the Energy Sector podcast. My name is Michelle Fraser, and every week I will speak with incredible people who share their lessons, experiences, and stories from their time spent in the energy sector. Today, my guest is Bert Abiel. Bert is an incredible specialist in the solar innovation with over 40 years' experience in the energy sector. Bert, would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Well, I'm Master of Engineering, it's called today, this title in renewable energy, in microelectronics, specialty photovoltaic cells. So 40 years ago, I was one of the first on this globe to believe in it. When I left university, there was no commercial activity. There were no jobs in this sector. So I went to the classic energy, traditional gas, oil, electricity, mainly electricity. In 2005, photovoltaic energy was commercially ready and switched again to photovoltaics. I realized with several companies, medium-sized projects until 5 megawatts. It was based on the economical viability, if this is the right word, was based on subsidizing by the countries, by the government. One main factor why it was developed mainly by European and American companies, the solar panels. But the pricing of Chinese was about half of the Europeans, and so they took almost all the market, and most European and American companies went bankrupt. The European government commission realized too late. They put import taxes on the panels, and then the remaining companies survived. But it was rather late. Chinese had 70% of the market worldwide. And so they have still the main market of photovoltaics. They realized that there was a lot of money, and also that renewable energy should be actually someday. And we see today that it is very actual, that we cannot pay anymore our energy bills. The gas is about 4 times the old prices, and we have no answer. Personally, and my energy bill multiplied by 5. So that's enormous. It's almost difficult to pay. And people who are low salary, they cannot pay anymore their energy bills anyway in Belgium. Solar energy will help this, but you cannot do it in one day. It will take, again, maybe 25 years. And another thing I applied in my house is super insulation, so that the heat does not escape, that it remains, and so you don't need gas anymore. That's about the story I can tell you.
Did you have any role models in your career, and what did you find inspirational about them?
Where the inspiration came from, or what do you mean?
Your role models. Did you have any mentors or role models in your career?
No, because in the time that I was at university, nobody believed in it. And I was the only one. And after 10 years, I threw away my documentation because I didn't believe in it anymore. Now, 10 years ago, it remained actually. So I didn't believe that these prices and this efficiency could be so much efficiency multiplied by 3, price divided by 10. So you have an interesting project. Do you understand?
Yeah, I do, yes.
Nobody believed in it at that time. I believed, but I lost my... I didn't believe anymore after 10 years because nothing happened. So it seemed to be a theoretical product. But it is a bit like an iPhone or smartphone. It took 30 years before everybody has it. 30 years ago, nobody knew that it should come to life. 30 years ago, nobody had the iPhone. Now everybody, and Apple is the biggest company in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Okay. You understand?
Yeah, I did. So what else did you do when you didn't believe in solar energy anymore?
I was in traditional energy, electricity, power plants, plants, a little bit nuclear, a lot of gas, power plants, these things, traditional electricity, energy, traditional energy.
What do you find challenging about your current role?
Well, challenging is that I have developed a couple of products that certainly good realizations. The frustration is that I do not get real projects, only little bit. So my products, especially agrivoltaics, is something that can be applied everywhere in the world. Most interest, for example, in countries where there is too much sun, you can protect crops against the sun and have higher return on for the crops. For anywhere. Also, you can stop the desertification. Mm-hmm. You put big plants of this and you produce electricity and have all the power to stop desertification, what is today going on everywhere.
Okay, thank you. How does your current role compare to your aspirations as a young boy? Is it different?
I don't know. I didn't have any idea what the job, what engineering was. I didn't know anything about this product. So I went my way and I followed the way that life gave me. It was not really myself who decided on all these things, especially because I knew about products that did not exist or that were theoretical. You know, photovoltaic panels, you know what it is. In that time, it was so big what the product on which I made research, so ridiculous. You could not imagine that it would be important in this world. Important. So I didn't know anything about the way to go. I just followed the hand of God, if he was there.
Yeah, I think so. So what made you want to become an engineer and work in engineering?
Well, what made you to become? Because when I was at college is the right name, at school, I was good in physics, mathematics, chemical, I don't know the name, and all these technical matters, and not so good in languages or other. And so it was a little bit of automatic choice from middle school to university. So when you are good in something and not good in other things, it's best to make this choice, I think.
Okay.
So because, yes, I was interested also, that's true. Not only the know-how, but also the interest.
Okay. If you were going to hire someone as a manager, what qualities would you look for in the person?
I was, from 2000 to 2009, I was CEO of existing companies, energy companies, German. And then I was in the position to hire people.
Uh-huh.
It was only one informatical engineer and salespeople. So salespeople, I expected some technical base and then commercial feeling for the IT. Expected that he should solve our problems, IT problems. So that's it. Today I cannot hire because maybe it's good to explain. This agrivoltaics is not a company, it's a platform. It's a platform of three people who try to develop projects. And we can put these projects in another existing company. So one of the three has his own company. So we work on the market, we try to develop, and then we give the project to this company, and the results are shared, the financial results are shared between the three people. So we have two Belgian and one Indian person who are active on this platform. So it's not really a company. I suppose you understand the difference?
I do. It's quite a clever idea, actually.
There is no financial cost. Everybody does his work with his computer, with WhatsApp and internet and email. So no cost. And if there is something real, then we can realize it.
Yeah, I like that idea. I really like that idea.
In the company, you have a lot of documentation, investment, cost, taxes, salaries, with social security and 1,000 things. If you have a platform, it's from your own. You do what you want. There is no cost, and you see what happens after.
Okay. I like that idea. That's a clever idea, actually. Clever idea how to do business. I've never heard of that. I've never heard of anybody else doing that.
Before 5 years ago, I made this as a company, and I had so much cost that I closed the company and continued on this platform.
Okay.
Even nobody knows that it is not a company. Everybody considers this as a company, so no problem for me.
Okay. Have you had any career disasters where things have gone terribly wrong?
No disasters since it's only a platform, so you have no juridical risk. We give information, but at the moment we do not take the project itself on our budget. So if it costs £1 million pound or euro or dollar, we act most as consultants. So we take a fee, 3%, 4%, 5%. And so we help to realize the project. We are ready with this company to take the project 100% for ourselves, but must be sure financing and everything must be without risk.
Okay.
Cannot build a power plant in India because you never see the money back. But today, for example, there is a tender in Luxembourg and covered by the government there. And then the risk is zero. We will participate on this.
Okay. What is your zone genius? What are you really good at?
I think the overview of energy, renewable and traditional. I think I understand all these things together and find a way to go through it. And the people know one thing, I'm more energy philosoph, you know. The philosophies,
philosophy, you know.
I have a lot of know-how, and I can say this must happen like this, this, this. But I'm not busy in technical wiring, batteries, and all these technical things. I know a lot of it, I understand it, but it's not my daily activity.
Okay. What does your average week look like when you're working together with your colleagues?
My average week, to be honest, I work only half-time.
Okay.
Half-time, I'm babysitter for my grandchildren, which is today the most important thing in my life. The other half, I work together on specific projects. So that's about, because I'm retired, I stopped a couple of years ago, so I have no reason to work hard, very hard.
So okay.
It's more the position of a hobby, a little bit more, ready to realize. I'm still realizing big projects, but I do not run behind them.
Okay.
It's even so that I do not care too much about success anymore. Why should I? So I'm rather in the position to expect projects rather than to run around the world to find it. That this time has gone. I've done this a long time ago, but no longer anymore. We have a young boy, the Indian, who likes to do this. And the other one is a wind specialist, also retired. He takes it easy. He takes life easy. Career maker. It's behind us.
Okay.
Realizers. But I think we have a good know-how that has sense in this world. that can make sense, that can be used worldwide. For example, I had a project in development in Saudi Arabia, of a big plant where they want to, for a factory, they want to green the area around to have the electricity for the factory. It was a dairy company for milk. And so is it a dairy company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do. Because there are a lot of words that forgot the last years. So it can be realized in every corner of this planet, and even on the moon, if you want.
Yes. So who do you depend upon in a working environment?
At the moment, I depend on nobody. Only if there is a specific project, you depend on financing by a bank, for example. You depend on the customer. Without customer, there is nothing. A project, and there is a project, you need bank financing, and then you need some technical people to realize the project. So these are three aspects, according to me. Aspects.
Okay. Do you delegate any work?
Well, delegate. We share the work. We are three specialists in different activities, and we are complementary. So it's not us sharing the world, all of this.
So do you prefer working on larger projects or smaller projects?
At the moment, smaller. Not really the ambition to work on millions, because there is always the risk, and I don't want to spend my own money and to risk my own money anymore. So
yeah.
When you are 40 years, you are still in the work. In the, let's say, active work, active risks. When you are farther away, you think, okay, it's good. We try to make some money, some project, but we don't want to lose anything anymore.
Yeah, that's right. I agree. If you could turn back time, would you change anything?
I think many things. Yes, I would change, but what should I change? I'm not sure that I would be engineer. Can talk about marriage, yes or no, engineer, yes or no. Sometimes I think it was better to be doctor.
You think so?
No, I don't think so. It's just a question. I don't know.
If you could go back and give yourself, your younger self, any advice, what would that be?
Well, try to be creative, maybe, and to go in the own way. Not the way of the mass, and also I'm critical about everybody running behind this iPhone, everybody tattooing, and all these things. I am not a mass man, I'm an individualist.
Yeah.
So if you stand at the corner of the street at the red light, you see everybody with his hand, his iPhone.
Yeah, that's right.
Ears. Everybody thinks the same, does the same. I think there is not a lot of creativity in this world.
Okay, I agree. I just wondered, because you were one of the first ones that were working in the solar energy, because it was quite a long time ago as well, and then you said that you mentioned before that you gave up because no one else believed. That must have been really difficult at the time.
Well, not so really. It went from my front, in my backhand, it went souvenir, and I did something else. So most thesis of students bring nothing. So that they work on something, I don't know what, theoretical, what the professor gives them, what the teacher, and they work on it. And if there comes something out, it's maybe, but it's exceptional. If you go back in the near past, what has been realized, our photovoltaics, then the iPhone computer, in the energy, the most revolutionary, maybe you know, maybe not, it is the LED lighting, you know, the LED light, LED LED.
LED
produces as much light as a traditional lamp at 1/10 of the energy. Nothing else has realized something like this to 10 times higher result. You do not realize it, but when I light my house, now it's one-tenth of before. It's one-tenth of the energy produced by power plants. And it is coming, or it is everywhere in each house, maybe in yours, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
You have LED housing, LED lighting?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I do actually.
You're sure?
In some areas, yeah, I do. Yeah.
Okay. Nobody realizes, everybody thinks that it comes from itself, but it's not the case. It's an invention like some medical project, like how do you call it? Preservatives, then anticonception. It are also revolutionary projects in the men, in the life of men and women, revolutionary in the world as he is today. Was also a Belgian doctor who developed the pill. You know the pill, you know what I talk about.
Yeah.
It was a Belgian doctor who did not exist. Every parents met it. People had 8 children, 10 children in this world. Now it is 2 children, thanks to all these products, thanks to all these developments.
Okay. But it must be amazing now to think that what you had visioned many, many years ago is now what everybody's trying to work towards.
My uncle had 16 children from one wife. Can you imagine that you have 16 children around you?
No.
No. Nobody can. But it was normal at that time. The church said, as much children as you can make is the best. They all go to heaven and all these kind of things, but I think it's not true. All these, you know better than I do. These are all inventions that changed the world. There are others that I don't have now that are not my problem, but I think life has changed completely in the last 40 years. Nothing is the same, everything is different. For example, my last year of university, the university was 30,000 people. It's called the Leuven Classic, and they had one computer for all the university. It was as big as a house. It was called IBM 370, and all students got 5 seconds computer time. Mm. That was the situation. Now you have iPad, laptop, PC, everything, internet. Also, internet is a big change in the world. That are the one that I see today.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the most fundamental is the iPhone or the smartphone.
With all your knowledge and experience, what do you think the future is for solar?
Solar, it will increase and increase. I'm sure that it will be the main source of energy. I'm absolutely sure we have a heating up of the planet. That is almost sure that it is heating up and will give a catastrophe. So the only product against it is solar.
Okay.
Only the solar can help to beat this heating up of the planet. And for example, today we have 25 degrees here. It's the temperature of the summer. The climate has already changed for a lot. I don't know if you know 25 degrees Celsius. You use other parameters, I think, no? Fahrenheit. You use Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Celsius.
Celsius. So, you know, in November, yeah. 25 degrees Celsius, and in summer, 40 degrees Celsius, is different from 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's right.
If it heats up, the planet 5 degrees, it's the end of the planet. It's going to, I think, if you go to 10 meters, 3 billion people are without a house. If the water goes up 5 meters, the melting of the South Pole, of the North Pole, of Greenland, then I don't think UK can take 300 million people, take over 300 million people from India, from Bangladesh, from they have to go somewhere else. Today it's 1 million people from Ukraine, but then it's 3 billion that will come. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
The heating up of the planet and solar will fight against it. So it will double, triple, multiplied by 10, that's for sure.
Okay.
And then we will see if the planet survives or not. I'm not sure about it. Maybe, you know, 40 years ago, 1975, there was a report of the Club of Rome. Ever heard about it? No?
No.
No report. So I believe in it. It were made the top scientists, politicians, let's say the most clever people of the world who came together, like today in Davos, and they said then there will be big energy problems, there will be population problems. There were 4 million at that time, 4 billion, now it's 8 billion or something, and if it does not stop, it's 12 billion people.
Uh-huh.
So they forecasted it 40 years ago. I believed it in that time, and now again, it does not stop the population. So Okay. Even energy cannot follow this. All the people want to have luxury, comfort. Where does it have to come from? I don't know. You know?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Okay. I don't have any more questions.
That's good.
So that's all the questions I have today. I would like to thank Bert for your time.
Yep.
This brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you very much for listening and see you next week.
Okay. Thank you.
That brings us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, I'd like to gently encourage you to leave a 5-star rating wherever you listen to podcasts and share the show with another person. You can also follow me on LinkedIn or via my website, www.michellefraserconsultancy.com. Thanks again for listening and see you next week.